Well, welcome to the fourth Sunday of Advent. We are so glad that you are with us this morning. The fourth Sunday is love. When we look at the Nativity, or we think of Bethlehem, or we think of the baby Jesus, what do we think of? We think of love. We think of love. When we see it, we think and know love. When we look at the cross, whether it's hung around someone's neck or it's maybe hanging in a church, what do we think? Well, I think we're supposed to think, if we don't think anything else, we're supposed to think that's love. That's love all the way to the cross. Well, we are in the last message of the Unto Us Christmas series, and I do hope that you have been able to be with us through this series. If you haven't been able to be with us, go ahead and check those out. You can check out the messages. They're on our website or even on our Facebook page, and you can clock in there and check those out. Pastor Ray really kicked us off in a great way 4 weeks ago, and I'm blessed, and we're blessed to have him with us. Hey, if you haven't told us to hello this morning, just go ahead and online in your post, tell us hello. It allows us to know that you're with us, and just some of you have been greeting each other and saying Merry Christmas, very, very appropriate in these days. Hey, I want to remind you, speaking of Christmas, Christmas Eve is coming up, and you won't want to miss it. I realize we will not be in person, but we'll be online. But we have some special treats that we're working on for you. 6 p.m. right here, same channel. Have your candle ready. I'm just going to tell you, have your candle ready. And allow this Christmas Eve service to be a guide, an opportunity to move your heart, your mind, your soul into worshiping Jesus on Christmas Day. I mean, really, that's what we come and gather to light a candle, or to light a candle in this way in other places, to really remind ourselves, to renew ourselves on the truth of what Christmas is about. So I know it's tempting to just kind of skip over it if you're not going to a location, but don't do that. Don't do that. I really want to encourage you to be a part of Christmas Eve this year and be a part of it with us. Communion. Folks, we are having communion today. If you didn't hear that or didn't catch that, run to your refrigerator, grab a little juice or some substitute therein, a cracker, some bread. We want you to join us in communion as we really are going to take in and drink in this opportunity of thinking about God's love with us. Being guided by the Spirit, Luke writes these words to us in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're very familiar to us. They are these, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them," now I want you to tune in with another ear, if you will. Tune into these words. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Did you see it? If you were reading along, did you hear it? Did you hear it? Did you see it? You see, God is for us. God is with us. Not only that, but God is for you. God is with you. For and with, those are words that we say often and all the time, but not sure that we're able to capture really what it means that God is with us. As much as we hear it and as much as we dwell on it, and I pray that we meditate on those ideas and those concepts, that God is for us and with us, I think it's something that eludes us. From the very beginning, we want someone to be for us and with us. If you've had children at all, you understand this. See, God designed us to be in relationship to one another. He designed us to want to connect, to have somebody who is for us and somebody who is with us. Children want to know their parents are for them and with them right from the very start. Right out of the womb, they want to know that. They're hungry. They want to be held. They want to be kept warm, definitely, right? There's this idea that it's not just an idea, it's a reality. It's been studied that when a child is placed on their mother, skin to skin, there's a understanding. There's kind of like this sensory system that senses mom and knows that that's who that is and can almost hear the, you know, voice. There's this desire. And it really is this idea that I believe God has designed into us, into our biology even, into our psychology even, that we want to know that there's somebody for us. There's somebody with us in whatever we're going through. So whether it's skin or the voice that soothes that child, there is a connection. There is a for and with, because we want somebody that is for us and with us. Do you remember the days in elementary school? I do. I remember those days in elementary school, wanting to connect with someone or someones, right? A group of people you can hang with. Your desire was not to be left out, not to be the person who was hanging out on the lunch table all by themselves. A few months back, a friend from elementary school reached out to me and to our family with flowers at my dad's funeral. I had not even had contact with this individual directly or even indirectly for many, many, many years. And I thanked him for the kind gesture. And his comment was to me, one, he always loved our family, but two, he said, "You are kind to me. You were a friend and you were for me and with me in elementary school when other people were trying to isolate me." I mean, I thought that was so interesting that even back then, there's this desire that we want somebody for us, even if we, you know, the way we are and who we are. We want somebody with us. We have this strong desire. Maybe you were in a new location at one time. It was a new school, college, university, work, whatever. Maybe you moved to a new town. As independent as we can be in America from one another and needing any other people, there is a desire in us to want to stay connected to one another or to connect to others. It's this drive that we want to know that somebody's for us and with us. It's not just to be seen, that's part of it. But it's also to have that connection at a deeper level. And the way it works out is we find people we hang with. It might be a bowling group. It could be a cropping group, a scrapbooking group. I mean, there are so many places that we find ourselves in identity. And it's just an aspect of our lives. But we find people that are for us and with us in that. We always want somebody who's for us and with us. I mean, even thinking about why many of us get married. There's that attraction, there's that biology, there's all of those things. But when the road hits long-term in your marriage, this is really what we're all looking for, is that we have someone in that spouse who is for us and is with us. Life takes its toll. There are diseases. We change. There are so many things. And we want to know that somebody is for us and with us. Yet, in this desire, maybe you have found this to be true for you, in this desire to have somebody for us and with us, we tend to be people who don't look for it in the right places. In fact, this kind of reminds me of that song from, Johnny Lee. Looking for love. Have you ever, it's been a while maybe since you've heard the song, but it goes like this. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces, searching their eyes, looking for the traces of what I'm dreaming of, hoping to find a friend and a lover. I'll bless the day I discover another heart looking for love. I was alone then, no love in sight. I did everything I could to get me through the night. I don't even know where it started or where it might end. I turn to a stranger just like a friend. You see, we tend to look for love or look for those who are for us and with us in places that we shouldn't. It's not where we're designed. Now, they can help, but they're not the right place. We've been in this series unto us. We have been staying in the book, if you will, of Isaiah. We've been just taking slices of the prophecy about Jesus and looking at them. And even in those slices, and what we know about Isaiah is that Judah and Israel were looking for their for and with in wrong places. Even though they had God, they were looking there for other places that captured their hearts and their minds away from God. That God's desire to be for them and with them was abandoned for other things that look better. You know, this isn't new. I mean, God knew this about us. Way back in the garden, right? Adam and Eve chose another route. They chose a new way to go, a different way to go. God's design and desire was that they would desire him and his relationship first over all else. It's the way he's designed us. And yet, we choose other things. We choose other things that move us into faithlessness and challenge our ability to live the design that he's desired us to live. Yet this is the wonderful thing with God, and this is what we get to discover today, is that in the midst of our faithlessness, God is still faithful. He's still for us and with us, even in our rebellion, even in our abandonment. A few of the passages we've looked at already promise this truth of a deliverance, of a salvation, of a redemption. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel." This is a promise to Judah and Israel that someone is coming who will be with you and for you. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." God has been and always will be for those who decide to listen, obey, and watch. Thanks, Pastor Ray. Thank you. Listen to these words from Isaiah where we're at today. They're in Isaiah chapter 53. If you're not there, you can see them on the screen or turn to them later. Isaiah 53, the whole chapter. It says this, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed a powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him." Now, who is Isaiah talking about? Who is it that he's talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus emptied himself of his very nature, becoming human like you and me. Can you imagine that? Like us. And we know this to be true because of what we celebrate in this week. We get to celebrate Jesus' birth in a manger scene. I mean, that's kind of what we imagine, right? He's born in poverty. He's born in obscurity. He's born in the shadow of Jerusalem in its best. Nothing about him even drew us to him. And it's partly because of that. It goes on, "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with the deepest grief. We turned our backs on him, and he looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins." It was in this that he carried us, right? He carried us through all of that despising and, you know, turning away from him. "But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole." Whole. "He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all." All of us. He carried our sins to the cross. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep is silent before his shears. He did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He has done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of all his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier, God says, because he exposed himself to death, and he was counted among the rebels. He bore the sin of many and interceded for rebels. Many have come to understand this passage of Scripture as the suffering servant passage, where Jesus has taken on the sins of the world, and that's exactly what has happened. That his promise that came through a virgin on that night in Bethlehem was the promise of the one who would be our King, our Messiah, our Lord, our Savior, the one who would be for us and with us, carrying everything that we ever did on him to the cross, to bear it once and for all. You see, we have one that has been for us and with us, for you and with you, wants to be with you from all time. It's our choice. It's our opportunity to realize and recognize, to turn our attention, realign our minds, to give our hearts to him. Some of us have known this. We know that he has borne our sins, and we have gladly given him our lives and decided to follow him. It's a pattern of life that God calls us into, this pattern of love that really does sacrifice on the behalf of others. God always looking out for those who would turn to him and be counted his. He wants us to do the very same thing. You see, Jesus wants us to be for and with others. In these days of the pandemic, it probably has been pretty easy not to be considering of others, really, to be true. I mean, we're all concerned about ourselves and our well-being. But even in these days, Jesus wants us to be for and with others, just as he is with and always will be for and with those who choose him. But being for and with others is not all it's cracked up to be. As we read, Jesus was despised. He was set aside. He was not considered much. Yet he was all. So what does it look like? What does for and with others look like when we live it out? Well, much the same way it does for Jesus. It's not always pretty. And it definitely is not popular. We may even get rejected in the process. Maybe not rejected by those who are for or with us, but because we hang out with those who are lost, least, and left out. I mean, Jesus did all the time. He hung with sinners, gluttons, and drunkards. We will bear the grief of others, and I think part of this means that we not only bear the grief because we're despised or we're rejected or persecuted or whatever you may use, but it's also that we start to really bear the love of others and we start to take on their concerns. It causes us to shed tears on their behalf and with them. It will always be sacrificial because it's not the first thing we want to do. We don't want to give up our lives for somebody else. We want to preserve and protect our own. But Jesus gave himself. As Philippians 2 said, as the nativity story illustrates to us, he gave himself up. He descended from heaven for us. And it will be incarnational in its living. It will be truly this idea of living out love that also becomes this place where we find those who are for us and with us. It's really quite interesting, and it's very mystical. But those that we sacrifice for and those we sacrifice with become those that are for and with us too. Jesus is always there for us. So why do we do all of this? Well, it's because Jesus set the pattern for us. Theological term is incarnation. We sing about Emmanuel during this season, which really means God with us. This is exactly what incarnation means. It means that God moved out of his realm and moved into our realm. He pitched his tent. He bore our sins. He took on our griefs. He did it for us, and he did it with us. So what about you? What is the next step? If God has done this for us, and he's done it with us, what is it for you? Can I just tell you, maybe you haven't been feeling that God is for you this year. I can completely understand that that may be a part of your thought. You've been isolated. You've maybe lost a loved one. You may have even gone through a lot of other tragedies, financial things that are going on. You're wondering, is God for me? Can I tell you that he is for you? But see, the difference between our idea of God being for and with us and his idea is that his presence is always with us. Even in these recent days, we often want people to come and bail us out. I think of even the nativity story. Think about it. You read the whole story and you recognize and realize that the anticipation of a king was not Jesus. It really was not Jesus, someone who would go to the cross, someone who would bear the weight of the world, yes, but not to go to the cross and somehow defeat is really success, but they couldn't grasp that. It was really success. The cross was the healing that the world needed. Maybe you've wondered, is God for you? Yes, he's for you because he wants to be with you. If, friend, you have not made the decision to follow Jesus, can I just encourage you this morning, and we'll pray this prayer in a few moments. Pray to follow Jesus in your life because God wishes to be with you, but you must decide whether you wish to follow or not to follow him. If God is for you, then the question really becomes to those of us who are followers, who are you for? Who are you for? We're called to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength and love others or love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So can I ask you, who are you loving these days? Are you taking care of yourself well, but not taking care of your neighbors as you take care of yourself? Those that you find in need. You see, this is what incarnational living and life of Jesus is all about. You know God is for you as a follower of Jesus. If you know God is for you, then he asks you to be for and with somebody else. Did you know that at the beginning of Isaiah, this is one of the issues that God has with Israel and Judah? They want things to be the way they want them. They were taking care of themselves well, and their worship service were for them and them only. And he says, you're abandoning my first drive for you, my first mission for you, my commission to you. And that is to love those around you as you love me. Maybe you've had somebody go the extra mile who's demonstrated that they're for you. As I mentioned earlier in my message, in August, my dad passed away. As we stood greeting people, doing it the way that we do these days, it is always surprising to me those who show up. There is one person that shocked both Kathy and I, my wife, completely to tears. this person is somebody that nobody would probably see or really know is significant to us. The person took a day off at work, took out of his schedule, drove to a town he'd never been to before, and just to sit, to listen to a service about my dad. Now, this is one of many demonstrations of love of people being for and with me throughout this year. But it's an incredible demonstration of what it means to be for and with, to do something that you don't have to do, that no, not even the people that are involved with it would even know that you were thinking or not thinking about. Who are you for and who are you with in this season? You see, I think that if we know that God is for us and with us, he calls us to be for someone and with someone, to bear with them as he is bore with us. We can't do it the same way. He bore our sins to the cross. But we can be a neighbor. We can be that person who loves like Jesus loves. Now it's your turn to do exactly what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that you did exactly what Isaiah says that you are going to do. 700 years before it even happened or about, you, God, you promised that your Son would be our Savior, our Messiah, would come and sacrifice for us. And he did. Thank you for that, that you are for us and with us. Thank you for the continual reminder of how not only that you're for us and that you're with us, but that how you wish for us to live. Father, may we follow in your footsteps. Friends, for those of you this morning who realize God was for you, but you need to make the decision and allow him to be with you this morning, pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, grace, and love found in and through Jesus. Save me and forgive me for my sins. I give you my life and choose to follow, love, and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In these next moments, we're going to walk through our communion ritual. We're going to do some reading together, apart, if you will, while we walk through this. I want to remind you from Isaiah 9:6 again of this gift that we have been given, that a baby born became a man who died on a cross for us. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is our Lord, Savior, and Messiah. Here's your invitation. You who truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who live in love and peace with your neighbors, and who intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God, walking in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort, and humbly kneeling, make your honest confession to Almighty God. Let's read the Lord's Prayer together or pray it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who with great mercy has promised forgiveness to all who turn to you with a hearty repentance and true faith, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins. Make us strong and faithful in all goodness, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's read the Collect together. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. The spiritual communion. We do not come to this your table, O merciful Lord, with self-confidence and pride, trusting in our own righteousness. Oh no. But we trust in your great and many mercies. We are not worthy to gather the crumbs from under your table, but you, O Lord, are unchanging in your mercy. and your nature is love. Grant us, therefore, God of mercy, God of grace, so to eat at this table that we may receive in spirit and in truth the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and the merits of his shed blood, so that we may live and grow in his likeness and be washed and cleansed through the most precious blood, that we may evermore live in him and he in us. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who gave in love your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, who by his sacrifice offered once for all did provide a full and perfect and sufficient atonement for the sins of the whole world, we come now to your table in obedience to your Son, Jesus Christ, receiving this bread and this cup as he commanded in the memory of his passion and death, may partake in his most blessed body and blood. Now take the bread now, if you have it in your place. In the night of his betrayal, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Eat it now. In like manner, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new testament, or the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we are thankful. We are grateful. We worship and praise you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who we celebrate his birth, but we remember because our lives have depended upon it, the death upon the cross, the empty grave, and his resurrection gives us hope, a peace, a joy that allows his love to be spread upon our hearts. We thank you, and we worship you now in song, in Jesus' name. Amen.